I will call a meeting to order of the Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee and Reverend McNamara, the minutes of April 2nd. I'm certain that you are just enthralled with them. Would you make a motion to approve those, please?
I would, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative McNamara moves the approval of the April 2nd meeting. Any discussion? There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. We're going to bring the House File 1122 back before us. It was laid over yesterday, and we were working off the DE4 amendment that amended the bill yesterday, and we also have an A2 amendment. It's the H1122A2 amendment to subparagraph 4A. Representative Purcell moves that amendment to get the bill again in a shape that he would like it. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Purcell, to your bill is amended, if you could explain the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we continue to work on some of the fine points of the bill and to explain the Section 4 and what we've done there. I'm gonna ask Mr. Morris to talk about the nuances of that and make it as plain as we can.
And Mr. Morris, for the tape, would you re-identify yourself, please, and go ahead with testimony?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Morris, Executive Director with the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. And we did have an opportunity to meet this morning over at the Board of Water and Soil Resources with representatives from the Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, Farmers Union, got some Senate staff there, a number of advocacy groups, and basically working through this, we came up with this language which simplifies what we're trying to do. And what it does, Mr. Chairman, is in a nutshell, if we have an ordinance that says you cannot crop the first 50 feet of riparian areas, if somebody is cropping that and they're out of compliance, they will not get a higher rate in the rim easement because they are out of compliance. We have two rates that we use for rim, a 90% of assessed value for cropland, a 60% of assessed value for non-cropland. So it's really a fairness issue as much as anything, because if someone is out of compliance and cropping the land, we don't want to give them a premium, so to speak, for being out of compliance. And so it says they'll be paid at the non-crop rate. So it's kind of in the middle, and it's workable, and the Board of Water and Soil Resources is comfortable with it, and the Farmers Union was part of those discussions and is comfortable with it, and either one of them would be happy to come and testify to that.
All right. Thank you. Questions on the bill as it presently is amended? Any questions by the members? Anyone to testify for or against the bill in the audience? There being none, Representative Purcell renews his motion for House File 1122 as amended be re-referred to the Rules Committee. In favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails.
Thank
All right.
You. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep. The next bill to come before us is House File 128. Representative Slocum.
Well, I knew you wanted up there.
Okay, the chair will move House File 128 for Representative Slocum. There are no amendments to the bill. Representative Slocum, to your bill, I see you have Mr. Johnson here. Mr. Johnson, identify yourself for the record, and you go ahead and present the bill. Representative Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for hearing the bill. This bill came to me from a resident in one of my cities who said, you know what, I moved here 2 years ago and I've watched my alley and they said, you know, we hired a garbage hauler and they come pick up our trash and another truck comes by and picks up recycling, and during half the year another truck comes by and picks up the yard waste. And so three big heavy trucks go down my alley. And then he said, but once a week, you know, to pick up people's trash, that's understandable. But he said there are eight different haulers, and they all have the three trucks. And they're going up and down our streets, and they're going up and down our alleys, and they're doing it once a month. And he said, I have problems with that. And I said, well, yeah, you're not the first who has complained, but you're the first who's really pushed it. And right now, one of my cities is doing the League of Women Voters group is doing a study on organized hauling so that a municipality, what this bill does, so I came here and said, well, let's see what we can do here, and saw what had been done, worked with the stakeholders, and we're coming up, this is what we've come up with so far, and I think it makes a huge difference environmentally as far as the amount of exhaust spewed into our environment. I think it affects the infrastructure, the streets of our cities and municipalities. Plus, I think it gives it the gives cities and municipalities the opportunity to make their own decisions, the citizens in those communities, to get the best possible price. The other thing that this guy said, as you know, this resident said, as you know, my price has gone up, and then up, oh, and then up again. And he said, and it started with kind of this, ooh, really attractive price. And then the price went up and up and up again. And that has also been kind of a common complaint, that there's always a nice leader price, and then it goes up. With this system, if a city decided to do it, and it doesn't say cities have to, it doesn't say municipalities have to do anything. There's nothing here that says a city, a municipality has to do anything. They can have free bidding for haulers. They can have the residents do it. They can do anything they want to do. But if they want to have organized hauling and see if they can get a better deal for their residents, or if they're concerned about the pollution and the infrastructure, they can go to organized hauling. Now I have Craig Johnson with League of Cities to give you some additional information.
Craig Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Craig Johnson with the League of Minnesota Cities, and very much appreciate the time to go through this. This has been a very significant issue. Those of you who've been around for a few sessions have heard about this from very different angles in the past. It's always a very challenging situation, and I will get a little bit to the causes of that later, but I just wanted to start by giving you what the current situation is. Currently, cities are mandated in Section 115A.941, any community with a population of 1,000 or more, so city or township, must provide garbage collection and must have an enforcement ordinance to ensure garbage collection from every residence. It's a state mandate. We further, in Section 115A, are required that if our county decides that they want organized collection in a city or township countywide, we must implement organized collection in the cities or townships countywide. The problem is the process that's set up to do that. Right now, the process that's in place, and has been there for about 20 years, is very contentious and is mandatory minimum of 6 months, the first 90 days of which must include planning with current licensed haulers from the community, so whoever they are, big, small, whatever, whoever is currently licensed to haul in that community, and another 90 days of negotiating with those current licensed haulers in the community, during which time you're also doing a study with a community panel. But before you can do any of that, the governing body, so the city council or town board, has to take a vote to say they want to go forward with this. So they're actually taking a vote before any study or information has been done, which is very contentious, a very hard thing for them to do. And we have in the time of this law being in effect, we've only had two recent cities that have made it through all that process all the way. One was 2 years ago. The city of Maplewood was the first city to do that since essentially the year the law was put in. And the second was just this last year, the city of Sauk Rapids. You have a press piece that came out in the St. Cloud paper related to the Sauk Rapids situation. It was very, very contentious in both of these communities, involved local elected officials being unelected over this issue even being discussed. And in both cases, the community went forward and did the project anyway. And in the Sauk Rapids case, the people who ran opposed to organized collection unanimously voted to adopt it once they saw how much benefit it would bring to their community. Literally had savings of $240 to $300 per household on their garbage rates and dramatically improved the service that they were getting for their citizens. Plus, they're down to one truck going around every week now instead of having several. They had three haulers there at that time. Communities look at this for a number of reasons, not just because of the mandate. They look at organized collection for traffic issues, for infrastructure wear and tear. It might be for roads. It more frequently is for alleys. If they have unpaved alleys, having a large number of heavy trucks going up and down those alleys can be pretty problematic in a big hurry. We also have environmental issues, cost issues. They try and get a better deal for their constituents by doing a group bid for the community instead of having, you know, individual people see what deal they can cut. And they also have environmental performance. So whether it's the services provided, what recycling is picked up, or what type of garbage service, size of containers, all of those sorts of things. But it also includes things like having the haulers move to the compressed natural gas fueled trucks, which you'll hear haulers later talking about how they're moving to those. Dramatically improves air issues related to big heavy trucks idling in alleys extensively. So there's a lot of different reasons the community might look at this, but what has historically been the case is they don't get through the process because it's too burdensome and too contentious. What the legislation, House File 128, was set out to do was remove that upfront fight and replace it with a process that still gets the community input, still an open public process, but also then gets us to a decision and has the vote happen once the governing body has information, instead of having a vote happen at the front end when they haven't really got anything yet. As the bill came forward, first in the Senate side, the independent haulers came forward and said, you know, there was a very important part to this, which was that during the process, people who already had invested in the community and were licensed haulers there and had business there got an opportunity to make the case to keep that business in some manner. We really want to preserve something in that regard, and they came up with a proposal that, frankly, was pretty reasonable, so it's in the bill now. And you'll hear a lot about that section of the bill. I'll get to it in a description as I run through the bill quickly, but it's Section 5 of the bill. And so what we essentially added is a step up front now in the process that lets anyone who's a current licensed hauler come forward when a community decides that they're interested in organized collection. The first thing that now happens is everyone who currently has customers in that area gets 60 days to come up with their own plan for how they would do organized collection and keep their existing percent of the customer base in that community. And if that proposal looks good, meets the community's goals for what they're trying to do, it can just be adopted and the city's under organized collection with those haulers getting to keep their share of the business and continue to capitalize on the, you know, on the business they've developed over the years serving the community. And we have, you know, very, very few communities that are doing this to try and get rid of local haulers. They're typically trying to address something else. This doesn't seem to be a very burdensome thing at all. And so we did adopt that, and we're actually supportive of that being a part of the bill now. Bill, as it went through the process, initially that was listed as a initial contract that had to be for at least 3 years if we went with the existing local haulers. The Senate added a top window to that to avoid super long contracts as the initial contract, essentially kind of freezing people out for 15 or 20 years, which I think would be unlikely, but it was a reasonable safeguard. So that initial deal now, if a community went straight to organized collection with their local haulers, has a time window for that contract of 3 to 7 years in Section 5 of the bill, which we think, while we normally protect local control pretty vigorously, is not an unreasonable limit for a window for an initial contract under this. Now, as Representative Slocum mentioned, this is not a mandatory process. No community, no city, no township has to do this at all. It's entirely up to them. If they're happy with the way hauling's working in their community and it's not organized, they can leave it that way. And unless their county mandates that they organize, then they have to. Just want to check. Let me go through the bill very quickly, Mr. Chair. It's not a very lengthy bill, just to make sure folks are comfortable with what it does. The first section of the bill simply says that, and this was a key point, we're changing the process for establishing organized collection, so we wanted to make it clear that if a city or township already has organized collection, we're not saying they have to redo the process. They get to keep their organized collection system if they want to. The sections 2 and 3 deal with the formation of a committee to research this topic at the local level. And if a community decides not to go with that first offer from their local haulers, this is what they would then go to, is this committee that would look at all the options. They could still end up going with the local haulers option or a version of it that gets brought up during the course of the negotiations, but they can look at other options at that point as well. The Section 4 of the bill deals with actually the governing body implementing organized collection, and it does put a limit in that there has to be a six-month transition. The community gets a six-month wait before they would be switched from their existing haulers to an organized collection system to give people and the businesses time to respond to that. Then Section 5 is the section that deals with the requests that were made by the independent haulers to put in an upfront two-month process for them to do negotiating and planning with the city. And then Section 6 simply clarifies that the county still has its organized collection authority, but it applies the new language and new subdivisions to that. The repealer in Section 7 is a repeal of the existing 180-day process. So we replace that with this. The rest of the bill replaces that. Members, I guess I would just add that this has been a very interesting process. We have spent a tremendous amount of time working with the haulers on the language you see in here. This is a very important issue for cities. Garbage hauling is one of the major mandates that we have, and it is one of the very contentious ones. Garbage hauling and snow plowing. I think those of you who've been in city government know that we get a lot of calls on those two issues. And this one, in many communities, is a very good way to handle some of the concerns at that local level. So I'm happy to answer whatever questions I can, Mr. Chair.
Questions for Mr. Johnson or Representative Slocum on House File 128. Representative Hugel.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Johnson, I agree with you. As a former mayor and city of Champlin, sometimes the your garbage hauler is just like your paper person or whatever. It they're so important and everything else. But Representative Slocum, I share some of your analogies there about with organized collection. We went to this a number of years ago in the city of Champlin. And from an environmental standpoint, obviously, from the exhaust fumes, gasoline, and everything else, it was a big hit with our residents. But it was also a bigger hit with our residents because we used to have everybody was negotiating their own little deal, and we'd have trucks running all over the city at all hours of the morning. I used to get lots of calls. Hey, what's the deal? Why don't we have an ordinance prohibiting garbage pickup before 5 a.m. and things like that? And then we took a look at our Public Works Department, and we went to our Public Works Department and we said, what is the impact of all of these trucks going on these residential roads, which really aren't designed for that? You know, our feeder roads were, but our residential roads were not. Mm-hmm. And our Public Works Department came back and said, yes, there's a real cost. We haven't totally figured it out yet, but it's substantial. So we went with that. It was very successful. We still do in Champlin have an Environmental Resource Commission that deals with this. And of course, that's pretty obvious in the bill here with the committee duties and things. So it works out really, really well and provides the local haulers have been very good. They know the residents. They know all their little idiosyncrasies and things. And it's worked out very, very, very well for our city. So I guess really I don't have a question. It's just the comments that I think this is a pretty good bill. But it is, like you said, garbage hauling can be very contentious. Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair,
yes, look.
About the contentiousness, Representative, I was warned about that. And in fact, some of my friends said, drop this one like a hot potato. You don't even want to be involved in this. Quite frankly, nothing much scares me. I'm an eighth grade teacher.
Okay, we're going to have some other folks come down to testify for against the bill from the National Solid Waste Management Association, also A Solid Waste. Are you here?
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Slocum. I'm Mike Berkopek, and I'll just quickly mention that I've got Mark Stoltzman here from Randy's Environmental and Willie Tennis from Tennis Sanitation. And we're all going to speak very similar, very short comments, and I thought maybe it might make sense for us to more or less be here together. But again, my name is Mike Berkopek. I'm with Ace Solid Waste. Ace Solid Waste is a locally owned company based up in Ramsey, Minnesota. The company's actually been around since 1955. It was started by some folks up in that area back in 1955. And in 1992, a fellow by the name of Andy Schweitzer and his brother actually purchased the company from those original owners. So in a way, it's a second-generation company, but it's second generation between two local owners. Andy happens to live in New Brighton, Minnesota, and he apologizes not being able to be here today. But what I'd like to just talk about who's out there and who's been talking about this from a hauler's perspective. Obviously, there's my company. There's Randy's Environmental, and you'll hear from him. Dick Sanitation, based in Lakeville, another company that's out there that is supportive of this this House File 128. Walters Recycling and Refuse. West Central Sanitation is Don Williamson out in Wilmer. And then Tennis Sanitation, as I mentioned. Obviously, these are all Minnesota locally owned haulers. And actually, you know how these things go. They get their own rolling, and I've been starting to talk to other Minnesota haulers. As a matter of fact, Gene from Gene Sanitation is here, and Gene is one of those people that was affected by the city of Maplewood, and he's just got, I think, maybe four, five, six trucks. I'm not exactly sure, but Gene's one of those guys that is also interested in seeing this happen. Then in addition, as I was introduced, I am the chairman of the Minnesota chapter of the National Solid Waste Management Association. We obviously are a trade association that deals with all kinds of different issues, and some of you may have heard of us, may know who we are, and different members of our association. Our association did pass a resolution in favor of House File 128, and specifically, as has been mentioned, we're able to support that because of Section 5 and the words and the language that's in Section 5. We did take a vote, and it passed. I will note that there were three of our hauling members who did disagree with the resolution. Big picture for us, this is a compromise. This is tough for us because we've been in this business a long time, and now things are changing. And what's the right way to transition to this different way of how people buy trash service? And I think what this does is it makes that transition happen in, I'll say, as orderly a fashion as possible. It respects, and that's what's really important to us, it respects the businesses that we built. It's very debatable on whether this is enough respect. And I can tell you within our little hauling group, we've had quite a few discussions about that. At this point in time, we're obviously at the point where, yeah, this does it. This allows us at least an opportunity to sit down and talk to the people in the community and try to work something out. And as Craig Johnson said, I think, you know, the law's been around since 1987. It's one of those things that really came out of the Waste Management Act in 1980. And is actually the history. I've been around this long enough. It was actually Senator Gene Merriam and a hauler by the name of Chuck Cutter who got together and said, hey, this is going to impact local businesses. We should try to do something. And that's where the original law came from. And as one member mentioned, there were a couple of communities back at that time which actually, under the auspices of the law, or pretty close to when the law happened, that's a long time ago, but regardless, the city of Champlin went to a consortium system, is what it's typically known of in the business, and we happen to be part of that, and so is Mark from Randy's Environmental. We also have Allied Republic in that consortium, and Tad from T&L Sanitation, and we could spend a lot of time talking about how those people work, but the fact of the matter is it's worked there for many, many years. It's also worked in the city of Ham Lake. So this has happened. I think prior to, you know, those couple happened, and then it kind of went for quite a few years, and either communities decided not to do it for all the reasons that were mentioned. Maybe it was contentious. Maybe they just decided not to do it. And then recently, two communities that were mentioned decided to go ahead and move forward. So really what we see this as is it adds clarity to what's already there. because it's happened before in the current law. These changes add clarity and make it better for all the parties involved to get through this process. As has been mentioned, it doesn't require them to go to organized collection. We're not holding anything with them saying you have to work with the local haulers. It just gives us a chance, and that's really all we're asking for in exchange for some businesses that we built over many, many years, that if a city does decide that they want to change the way garbage is purchased in their community, that those who have invested in that community and been there a long time have an opportunity to talk about it and hopefully work something out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Stoltman. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. I work for a company by the name of Randy's Environmental Services, and we're a family-owned business based in Delano with locations in Rogers and in Burnsville. Our company has been established in 1979, and I'm here today to support House File 128 as well as agree with everything that Mr. Berkopek said. And just from a practical aspect, trying to give you an outline of what our business model is. You know, given today's environmentally responsible attitude, especially the state of Minnesota is taking, our company's kind of taken a position that we want to be in the forefront and help build the foundation of what's required. So we listen carefully to the government, to the PCA, and to others. And going forward, we work to not only grow the customer base we have, but to meet the guidelines that the state requires. So as processing has been discussed and single-stream recycling has come forth, our company took the posture that we're going to be in on the ground level on that and help build that. So we went to our bank and we said, listen, we have a customer base of a number of people. We have contracts, and in our particular case, all of our city contracts are protected with 10-year contracts, which was especially interesting to the bank because when they give you a loan, it's based upon the amount of contract life you have and your ability to pay that loan back. And so they see that as a very important aspect. So in this particular case, we put in a compressed natural gas fueling station and bought new trucks to support that so that we could, have a better footprint from a greenhouse gas standpoint. We built a single stream recycling facility. We built the only hauler-oriented municipal solid waste processing facility. So we take household trash from the curbside and we mine the recyclables out of that. In the last 8 years, in addition to that, we added a document destruction division and an organics program. Every one of these, as we went forward to fund for the equipment that was necessary, our bank took a pretty conservative look, especially since 08-09, and said, how are you going to repay us? And for us, Section 5 is simple. It gives us the ability to move forward and to transition our business and to try and protect our business because when you work for a family-owned business, losing the market share that you have in one or two large communities are the difference in the margins that you have from a profit perspective. Everything we do is expensive, and I'm just asking for your support today to help us protect our Minnesota family-owned business. Thank you.
Thank you. How's that compressed natural gas working for you?
It's working pretty well. We have 25 trucks now that run on that, and it's about 7 or 8 times quieter than a diesel truck, and the emissions, of course, are much less. But it's been a very good thing.
You got agility on there?
Yes, we do, actually.
Wonderful. Good. Any questions for the testifiers thus far? Representative McNamara.
What's agility?
I'll talk about that later. It's a good company.
It's a great company.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other question? And we have of these testifiers, and then we have another. We have several additional testifiers. Go ahead, sir. Introduce yourself for the record, and go ahead.
Hi, Chair and Committee. My name is Willie Tennis. My brother and I own Tennis Sanitation. Our parents started back in '66. We've gone through all the changes, like Mark was just saying, the recycling, compost, all that stuff. We've been there, done it all. And we've worked for everything we've had. We started with zero customers, and we have a lot of family involved in our business. And 2 years ago with that Maplewood government takeover, the organized, we lost 20% of our business at that time. And there again, we just wish we would have had more of an opportunity, like this current bill is, to that we maybe could have kept our share of the market. And so anyways, I'm just here to say that we're in support of this bill also. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the testifier? Representative McNamara.
Willie's a good man. He's my garbage man.
There you go. You can't go wrong with that. Does he pay his bill, I guess? We should anyway. All right. So we've got, thank you for coming and making the effort to get here. And now we have John Byrne from Republic. And we've got Julie Ketchum from Waste Management.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Julie Ketchum, and I'm here on behalf of Waste Management. Advanced Disposal has the same position as Waste Management. They're not able to be here tonight because they are testifying in the Tax Committee. So everything I say is essentially what Advanced Disposal would say as well. I'd like to focus on Section 5 and why that is an issue for us. And start off by talking about cities and our relationship with cities. Waste Management, we are fine with the base bill as introduced, but we oppose Section 5. And the reason we oppose that is because it restricts cities from open bidding process. It disallows other companies to enter into the market. It disallows us from bidding on contracts that come up. Cities are our customers. We respect that. If they want to go to organized collection, we support that. We think that Representative Slocum's bill that makes it easier to get to organized collection is a good thing, but we do not support Section 5. The existing law achieves environmental goals because it allows a city to go down to one hauler. It reduces emissions in the city. It allows for the city to put out a bid and hire a company that is very progressive. This bill, with Section 5 in it, it restricts the city's ability to go after those progressive companies, and they can't bid on the contract. So the city is really sitting down in a setting for 60 days and working with the existing haulers and arriving at status quo with the existing haulers. They're not allowed an opportunity, unless they completely reject that bid, to look at other companies. So we are not able to bid on those companies. The city is not able to achieve its environmental goals of having fewer haulers in the community. They're still the same. They will likely arrive at the same five haulers that they've had. They can't hire companies that have that are progressive like Waste Management. We too have CNG. We have two. We're building our second CNG fueling station in Burnsville. We have had one in Blaine operating for a year and a half, and we have we're putting in 20 new trucks every year of CNG. So we're a very progressive company. We're just asking that we maintain the free market, that we have an opportunity to bid on these contracts, and Section 5 doesn't allow us to do that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the companies that have been up here and NSWMA. It is split on this issue. Waste Management, Advanced Disposal, and Republic do not support the position you heard from Mike Berkopek and Mark Stoltman and Willie Tennis. And we don't support it because we feel that besides the market restriction implications, we are concerned about the antitrust issues that this new law poses, especially if you're a city and the city is sitting down for 60 days. You know, what city would want to sit down and negotiate and go through rate setting and discussions like that? What city would really want to do that? So we see Section 5 as an impairment to organized collection. We see it as a disincentive because it's going to be a legal barrier or legal concerns that might be raised if a city goes to organized collection under this Section 5. Whereas under the existing law, there is an opportunity for open bidding.
That is not an issue that's before this committee. That would be an issue that would be brought up in the Commerce Committee. So
correct.
We're trying to focus on the environmental aspect, and I thank you for having CNG. That's a good product.
Well, just in closing, overall, what I see is cities not being able to or concerned about moving towards organized collection, so you're not achieving the overall environmental objective. So thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Yes, questions? Questions to this testifier? Being none, former Representative Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Burns, and I represent Republic Services here in Minnesota. Some of our trucks, because they're expensive to paint, still say Allied Waste, and others still say BFI. And we also are proud of our record, especially in the area of recycling, which I know this committee's heard bills on previously. We took the lead in moving to collect any plastic that has a 1 through 6 on the bottom of it, and we believe that's good for Minnesota, it's good for business, and it's certainly part of our business model going forward. I'll be brief in my testimony, we also support this bill as introduced, as intended by Representative Slocum and the League of Women Voters from Richfield. We do oppose this bill, however, because of Section 5, and the initial term of contract, which does lock out other haulers from being able to participate. And that could be Republic Services. It could frankly be one of the gentlemen who's testified already. It could be Gene Sanitation that gets locked out. And 7 years is a long time to close a bid. It does not allow, frankly, a new company in the marketplace to come in and have that bid. And that's the difference. The current organized collection system is an open bid. Section 5 would make it a closed bid and limit that to only current incumbent haulers. And we believe, ultimately, if you limit the number of haulers, you will limit or you will not get the best price for the citizens. And that's something that was talked about before, getting the savings of $240 to $300. You might not get that savings if you're just not negotiating with as many haulers. So for those reasons, we oppose. We have been trying to work towards a compromise. We have made an offer on that, and I'd be happy to talk about that if folks are interested. But thank you for your time.
Questions for Mr. Burns? Okay. Others, thank you very much. Others to testify for or against the bill in the audience? Further questions for Representative Slocum from the members? There being none. The chair will renew his motion that House File 128 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Rules. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the meeting is adjourned.